every eye closed, every hand raised. Give God praise this morning. Yes, Lord, we are standing. Oh, do you believe that this morning?
On holy ground.
Thank you, Lord.
And I know that there are angels all around.
Oh, you believe it. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God.
Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Oh, let's just worship and praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your presence. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The old tabernacle, just to throw this in, before anything was on it, keep playing. Before anything was on it, it was a judgment seat. You'd go up there and you'd look at it, and the first thing you knew is, I'm a sinner. You couldn't approach that. There's a holy presence there that you would die if your sin went up in there. But the second there was blood on it, you didn't have to worry about approaching it now. The doors were open. Come in and have fellowship with the Almighty. We're not coming into the presence of God on our own merits. We are coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at you, if you're coming through the blood, He doesn't see you. You don't need to be afraid. Run into His presence. Embrace Him. That's what He wants from us. Let's sing it one more time, just that part right there, with all our hearts now. Are you standing in His presence?
For we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Just one last time, let's sing it.
We are standing,
thank you, Lord,
on holy ground. And I know,
thank you, Lord,
there are angels all around.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us pray.
You have your Bibles this morning. Let's open up to the Word. I believe the atmosphere is really good this morning for the Word to come forth. Appreciated that worship. Hebrews chapter 10. If you have one of our church Bibles, it's going to be about 668, page 668. Somewhere around there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. go down to verse 10. Actually, let's just read verse 9 with that, and then we'll go down. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses had put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. But the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I'd like to start a series here, if the Lord willing. The Living God's Dwelling Place.
Amen.
The Living God's Dwelling Place. And to start today, I just want to ask the question, why church? Why are we here? What are we doing in this place anyhow? Can I ask you, why do we have church? Uh-huh. Let's bow our heads together.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time again to be in your house. And we're so grateful to know this morning that you're here with us, because that's all that matters, Lord. Come anything in life, it can be ups and downs. It's great and it's terrible, Lord, but we have an anchor that holds within the veil, and that's you, Lord. And we're so grateful that you're here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would prove to each soul that's here that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Lord, if there be one need in this place, may you be the one that comes and meets it, Lord. May you just take this little thought that you've given to me, Lord, and I pray that you would anoint it, not only for me to speak it, but Lord, may the people have an anointing in them to receive it, and that we might be changed from where we are now to where we ought to be, Lord. We know we can't leave a service the same. May each person leave a better Christian, or just leave a better person because now they are Christians. For Lord, there's no good thing about us anyhow. Grant it, Lord, to each one, heal the sick, save the lost, and fill those that are empty, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I think it's a good topic to go over, especially as we begin to see things happening in our lives. Even this little assembly here is to step back for a minute and go, what are we doing and why are we doing it anyhow? What is church even for? As most people know, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So why do we have to go somewhere to meet with him? If I could be with him just as well as home, why do I need to get up, not too early for our church, but most time you got to get up a little early, get in my car, get my kids around, and ship them off to this place? Why are we going there in the first place? And the problem being is most places don't have an answer for that, because you might as well just stay home when you go to those churches. I don't mean to say it that way, but you understand what I'm getting at. When it's just a social gathering, well, why don't we all just meet in my house? Why are we wasting our time going to a building that we have to pay for? What's the point in doing that when we could just all, well, let's all go fellowship Brother Kent's, because that's all we are, just a gathering of people that like each other. That's what most churches have become, because they've left the whole reason why we're here.
Right.
You're not here to have social gathering. If you came to church to get friends, go ahead and quit.
Right.
You can get more friends out in the world a lot faster anyways. You don't have to have standards or anything out there. You can just find anybody that'll put up with you long enough and they'll take your money, but hey, at least you'll have friends. No, I'm here to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now let's just break down the ice right now. The whole reason we're here is to meet with Christ.
Amen.
Not one another, not with the four walls, but that he literally would be standing here and my eyes would be opened and I would see him.
Amen.
Speaking to me, and he would be able to take my life and mold it into what it needs to be.
Exactly.
That's why I come to this place. And as we read there in Hebrews chapter 10, let's just break down the real first reason. It's just because God told us to do it. And last I checked, God doesn't blow hot air. He doesn't say things that he doesn't need to say. When he's saying it, there's a reason.
Amen.
And when he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And and he says, as the manner of some is. And what did Brother Branham say that was? He says, as the manner of unbelievers is.
Uh-huh.
So as you miss church, look, if you're a Christian, all you're doing is being a hypocrite now because you're acting like an unbeliever. Stop it. Is that all right to say this morning? Get into the house of God. Why? Because God said so.
Amen.
He said, lay your hands on the sick, they shall recover. I don't need to go figure that out. He said, do it. I do it. I believe it. It happens.
Amen.
And that's how you get anywhere with God. Get rid of your calculus equations to why things happen and they don't happen. Just take the word and say amen.
Amen.
And that's all you need to do. So as we come to the house of God, the first thing I want to say is, he told us to do it, so why don't we just try it?
Right.
I wish I get people in the world just do that once in a while. I just can't get them to even try. How about you just, let's just try the Lord. Yeah, you've went to the hospital for that, and you've done this, but you're like, well, why don't you just let me pray for you? You go, no, I don't know about that. You know, it might be just a little foolish. And you go, well, what do you got to lose anyhow? Shows you how deceived some people are.
Right.
Yeah.
can't even give God a chance, because every time I've seen people give God a chance, he shows up.
Amen.
He's waiting to be tested. And how many Christians don't have the joy of the Lord? They don't have healing when he's waiting to give it to you. It ain't his fault. It's your and I's fault. And I think any real Christian figured that out a long time ago. Anytime I want to be in the presence of God, guess what? I can be there if I just do my part of it. We'll just get my sins out of the way, kick my unbelief out the door, and look, he's always standing there.
Amen.
He never shut the door on us. He never makes us sick just because he's having fun. Even in church, a lot of times we'll have maybe a little kid act up or something, and people think that that's the devil getting on them. No, no, no. Devil ain't getting on them. Devil gets in your mind and gets you distracted. Don't blame no little children acting up. They're going to. They're not going to. We understand those things. At least we should. A little bit better than I think we do. But to think that a God that owns all the universe is going to say, yeah, I'm going to let the devil go pick on these little kids in service. That is foolishness. But those of you that should know better should know, look, he's a little child. I'm going to stay focused on Christ. It's not that there's nothing wrong or right about it. And I ain't trying to make excuses for that either. Us as parents need to take responsibility and do something about it. Amen. You got every parent in here? Okay, everybody said amen. We're all on the same page. That's good. Because a little child, we know he's not responsible for himself. Right. He don't know no different.
Right.
I'm a child of God. I don't got no mind coming. I don't got no mind going. I just take on his mind and let him make the decisions. It's a lot easier that way anyhow. Not too sure what just happened there. There we go. Amen. John 4:23 says this, and I'll just read it to you real quick because it's pretty familiar. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's John 4:23. So to be a true worshiper, how many wants to be a worshiper of God this morning?
Amen.
We have to have a place to worship. And yes, our daily lives, that is a form of worship. Us at home having prayer, devotional time, that's all worship. But so is coming to the house of God a form of worship, because you are obeying the Word of God. The obedience to the Word of God is better than any sacrifice you can come up with.
Sure.
So these people that want to tell me, oh, I was going to go to church, but the Lord led me on a Wednesday night for some reason to go take care of this need over here. And there's 6 or 5 other days in the week we could have done that. How about you go to church and pray for them and realize it ain't in your hands anyways.
Amen.
So why don't you just obey the Word and let God take care of that?
Amen.
And he will every time, because he's waiting on faith. This is what happens. When situations come, you must perceive it this way.
Right.
Satan is trying to get at you.
Amen.
But God is testing you.
Amen.
It's never the other way around now. It's never God trying to get after you and the devil wants to see if you're going to hold up. No, no, no. It's your faith. God allows it to be tested to see if you'll hold on.
Sure.
So yeah, guess what? Sunday morning, you better be ready for it. Guess who woke up with a headache this morning?
Come on.
Oh, but I'm the preacher. I have to make it, right? No, no, no. Every person in here has the same responsibility to your position in Christ as I do standing here.
Right. Amen.
And I just lay over and go, you know what? I guess I'm just going to have to cancel. I can't make it. But I'm not trusting in my merit to get here anyways.
Right.
I didn't try to fight off a headache. I took God at his word.
Amen.
Look, I'm trying to preach the gospel, not for my sake, not for pretense, but that he may be glorified.
Amen.
You don't think he'll make provisions to make sure I can get here on time?
Sure you will.
And I'm sure you had your battle this morning. I'm glad everyone overcame it because you're sitting here. Can't really preach that too well when people ain't here. How can you tell people to go to church when they're missing church and they ain't here to tell that they need to be here?
Right.
Kind of tough to do that sometimes, but we preach the word anyways. So the true worshipers, as we come into this place, we need to reverence not the building itself, but recognize what are we coming here for? To meet with him.
Amen.
So it's not that this church is holy, but if the Holy God dwells here, now it's holy.
Sure.
It's the same with the holy mountain. It's nothing to do with the mountain. It's just dirt like anything else. But the pillar of fire was standing up there, and there was lightning and smoke, and I tell you what, everybody in Israel knew, we better just hunker down.
Right.
Because even if a beast touched that mountain, it had to be killed.
That's right.
That's how holy God is. And I think that that's how we were when we were sinners, looking at that holy God, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
He is so far up there. There's just judgment all around. I don't even want him to talk to me no more. That's what happens to a man in sin. And it should not be any surprise that sinners act that way.
Right.
Because we did it too.
Right.
But the second you're atoned, Moses wasn't worried about it.
Nope.
said, come on up here, Moses, I want to talk to you. He was up for 40 days.
Amen.
And everybody else is afraid to even be up there a minute.
Uh-huh.
They got so scared of it, they say, we don't even want God to talk to us no more. Let's have this man. And they're starting to explain the system right there.
Right.
God permitted it for a while, we understand that, but not in the New Testament. That was done away with.
That's right.
So as we come into this place, we must reverence it if you expect to get any results out of it. Because if you don't reverence this place, not because of me, not because of the building itself, but because of the God that dwells here, you'll get nothing out of service. It won't mean anything to you. You might as well just stay home because there's no purpose in being here. But if you can come up a little bit and realize heavenly places in Christ Jesus is where I'm dwelling at when I come to this place, and really it should be everywhere you go anyhow.
Right.
And I'll get to that here in a minute. But even more so, when you come to the house of God, we shouldn't be worrying our thoughts on other things or even really talking about it. We got houses to do that. And you know what? I'll just read that real quick here and then we'll move along here. Excuse me. God hiding himself in simplicity, 63. When a minister walks into a congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven.
That's right.
How many wants to hear from heaven this morning?
Amen.
Well, can we do this first part here then? When we come to church, we're not in... Look, a lot of people show up early for church and just jab the whole time and wait for service to start. That isn't what the prophet said to do. That's not what God wants out of us. He says, when you come in here, praying in the anointing. So not even just here sitting and occupying a pew seat saying, well, I'm praying, or I'm just, you know, whatever. No, you're here with a purpose,
amen,
with a duty to get in the anointing.
Amen.
To know that I'm not guessing whether I'm in heavenly places. I'm in the Spirit right now.
Amen.
I need to know that. I can't be guessworking with that, or you'll get no results, because you can't do anything in yourself anyways. Anybody trying? Okay, good. Throw that out the window. Because if you're in the Spirit, then all things are possible. Don't do things and then get in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit so you can actually do something.
Amen.
I've tried to preach without having the anointing around. I'll tell you what, it's not a very good sermon.
Amen.
Because I can't preach it anyways. I can have all these great thoughts, all that matters, but if it's not the season, if it's not the time, it means nothing to anyone. But if the anointing comes, God doesn't learn things. You agree with that? He doesn't learn anything. So when he walks into this building, he knows everything you thought, he knows every need you have, and he knows what to say so you can walk out with it.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you come to church. That's why you come prayed up.
Right.
Let me read another one here real quick. Let me just finish that. Well, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused the Spirit's grieved.
Right.
We don't want that. No. We want to come here to worship. Is that the reason you stepped in the house of God this morning? Because you just want to worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then expect to hear from heaven.
Amen.
Don't say, oh, maybe. No, expect to hear from heaven. Saying, I have a need. You pull on the gift of God and expect to hear, because you came God's provided way.
Amen.
Through His blood, into His Spirit, and taking His word upon your heart. It must come to pass.
Amen.
We don't want that. We come here to worship. We have lovely homes that I'm going to speak about in just a minute and so forth at home, where we can visit our friends and take them. This is the house of the Lord. So yeah, us fellowshipping and things, that's fine and dandy, but this place in particular has one purpose: to worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we shouldn't be wasting time doing anything else. Church Order 63. Now look at the results on God's end when we'll do something like this. Brother Ram speaking of a church he went to one time. He says, and you could have heard a pin drop anywhere in that church, and everybody in prayer for at least 30 minutes before the first note was ever hit on the organ, the prelude, see? And just everybody in prayer. Amen.
Yes.
I thought, how wonderful it is. Then when that minister, that prelude about, I think it played one prelude for about 3 to 5 minutes, how great they are, or something like that, on like that. And when they did, everybody stopped praying and was listening to the prelude. See, it give a change from prayer to the prelude. And then when they played that, then the choir leader directed the choir, and then he had congregational songs and the choir. And then they were ready for their Sunday school class. And then when it was over, there was nothing went on except divine worship all the time. And that's what we come there for.
Amen.
You go, man, that preacher ain't all that good. He's not all that inspired. Well, what did he have to walk into to even get started?
Right.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm the preacher either, because I've been over there for years as well. And I know what it's like when you You know, you run around and whatever came up and you came in here last minute and you just get down and you barely can even get focused long enough to certain, and it takes you a while to even realize that God's speaking this morning.
Right.
Because it's you in the spirit. That's the only way you can hear the voice of God. The true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And all those people want to come up, I've heard this so many times. Well, I do my praying at home and then I come, you know, like that. Oh, you can go ahead and quit lying, all right? Because we all can get a half hour where we can fit our schedules and make it here. Isn't that right?
Right.
And it's not because, like I said, you're not here to do a duty. You're here at your post of duty to Him.
Amen.
And if we could really understand the benefits we get out of obeying God's word,
sure,
we would just do it.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Isaiah 56:7 says this, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer."
Amen.
Of all people. So if prayer isn't a part of your church experience, you're not obeying the word of God. Remember what Jesus did when that happened? He walked in there and instead of everybody praying, they were all doing their sacrifices. They're all getting paid and doing, you know, getting the lamb sold and all that stuff. You know, he didn't go in there and says, "Well, you know, we'll just kind of pray for him. We'll just let it go." What happened? You all know, don't you?
Yeah.
Jesus found some cords, put those babies together, and just knocked over tables, flipped over their barns and everything else they had in there, took their money, threw it on the floor, and said, "Get out of here. The word says this is a house of prayer."
Amen.
"And you've made it a den of thieves." And we think when we take our mind, let's just make it spiritual now. We don't have things getting sold out there. And God forbid if we ever do. I don't believe in selling one thing in this place. That's not the place for this. We can do that somewhere else.
Sure.
Even the prophet said that when they sold tapes and things, just and they weren't selling them to make no money. They were selling them just so they could make them.
Right.
And he said, "We're not doing it on Sundays, though. You keep that out of here." Not even in the church building. They didn't do that. Kept it outside. Why? They respected what they had dedicated to God.
Amen.
And as we read there a minute ago, you look at when the temple was made in Solomon's time. And if you look at the prep work they put up into making that temple, I forget how many years it was, 40 years or something, to build one place for God to dwell in.
Amen.
And we can't give him 30 minutes.
No.
40 years to put a place together. And then before they had one real service, Solomon put 1,000 burnt offerings on it.
Uh-huh, amen.
Himself, much less what anybody else did. And as they began to do what the word had said, because they obeyed it to the T. They had this guy right here. They had this tribe right there. They had it all set up just what the word of God says, with no vindication as of yet.
That's right.
What if they'd have stopped by halfway into it and go, "Well, I don't feel his presence. I think we're kind of wasting time doing this."
Sure.
Never would have happened. But when they fully obeyed the word with all their heart, guess what happened?
Amen.
The cloud came into the service.
Amen.
To where the preacher couldn't even preach the word.
Amen.
Because there was another preacher already preaching. Because look, that's what makes preaching easy, when you let God be God.
Amen.
I don't have to convince people God's here when they get to see him themselves.
Amen.
You all know the testimony I told you when I had that Bible study with those few kids there. And I said, you know, the presence just changed here. And we're in the mall, so I'm not expecting nothing like this. And I really didn't know what to do or say, so I didn't do anything. That was pretty easy. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything.
Right.
Wait till you know before you take a step forward.
Amen.
And I looked at the one kid, I can't forget this. The way he looked at me was one of those, just kind of staring. And I didn't know what was going on. Come to find out later, he came to me the next day with just ghostly face looking. Said, I want to talk to you when I get a chance. I want to tell you something. All I did for that Bible study, guess what I did? I took this Bible and I preached it. Didn't try to any certain method or any certain way or trying to pull them to any certain church. Doesn't matter. It's the gospel that counts.
Amen.
People can get the Holy Ghost and not come here.
That's right.
Is that okay with us here?
Yes, it is.
We are not the only group. The body is the mystical body of Jesus Christ, where each believer individually has a relationship with God.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with the building itself. It has to do with the individual. Can we get them to Christ? That's the goal of any church. Come up to me and he said, "I want to talk to you." He said, "When you said that and I looked at you," he said, "you know the typical face of what we see Jesus?" He said, "That's what I saw your face as. What do I got to do anymore?"
Uh-huh.
He took over.
Amen.
And that's how he wants to do it. He doesn't want us to struggle and pull and trying to figure this all out. He wants us as yielded members of His body.
Amen.
To let Him do it. Let Him testify to it. But the main thing that's wrong is we don't think He wants to use us. We think He wants to use this other person that we think is super spiritual. And again, as Dad said this morning, if you could go home with them for a little while, you'd realize they struggle just like you do. But they haven't given up because they're not trying it in their own strength. They've yielded themselves to God to where what comes on the outside is only God.
Amen.
And that's the way our experience should be. It should not mean we knuck down and let the devil push us around and make a terrible testimony. I don't care if you're fighting every time you come into this place, you never feel the presence of God. You obey the word.
Amen.
It's not based on feelings. It's not based on how we think and all these things. It's based on the Word.
Amen.
And if you'll hold on, it will come to pass.
Amen.
What if Abraham would have based his experience on feelings when he was waiting on a child for 25 years? What if he'd have based it on that? He never would have got there, would he? If he had waited 24 years, that's pretty good faith, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
At least to our standards, but it doesn't matter because real faith never gives up.
Right.
It's not about getting more faith a lot of times. It's about just getting faith.
Amen.
We need to quit bluffing and realize, do we got it or not yet? And if we don't, it's free. We just need to ask for it until we know we got it. Remember what the Bible says, knock, knock, and it shall be opened. He that knocketh, not he that knocked, he that knocketh, present tense, which means you got to keep doing it.
Amen.
Yes.
And the only time you stop knocking is when you have it.
Amen.
And then, yeah, you don't have to talk no more. You got it. You've had to have with healing, haven't you?
Sure.
Sitting there struggling, saying, Lord, I don't believe I need to accept this. I believe there's healing for me. I believe You've given it to me. And you just hold on to that word and you say, Lord, let that word be fulfilled in here. And what happens most times when people just stay sick is they give up.
Amen.
Right when God was testing them. Because He proves whether you have faith or not if you can hold on.
Sure.
Saul was the same way. You remember when Saul was king? He was supposed to wait for Samuel. Samuel was the priest, the one to give the sacrifice. And there was a time appointed that Samuel was supposed to come. And according to Saul, he was a little late.
Right.
And Saul began to look at the circumstance instead of the word anymore. Uh-huh. He didn't worry about the word no more. Who cares what the word says? He looked around and says, oh man, my army's leaving me. There's confusion around. I've got to do something about this.
Sure.
You know you've been there.
Uh-huh.
When you've taken the situation into your own reasoning, and say, I need to do something.
Right.
Did it conflict the word?
Sure.
And if it does, yes, you're going the wrong way right then.
Right.
There's no figuring it out. There's no working around it. It's wrong if it's contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
And Saul, he said, fine, I'm just going to do it myself. And it says right the second he got done doing the offering, Samuel showed up.
Yeah.
Just to prove to every believer that there is, that God is right on time.
Right.
Amen.
And just the second you're about to give up, look, it's right after that. Just get over the hump, as we say. You ever lift weights before? Just got to get over the hump and just keep going. And that's the way it is with your faith.
Yes.
If you'll just hold on.
Yes.
Don't quit. Don't give up. Because it's not you fighting anyways. It's somebody that's already won.
Amen.
And if you can realize that you're on His side and He don't know what defeat is, you'll hold on.
Sure.
Because how can Christ fail? Anybody think the devil could beat Christ? Well, if Christ is really in me and I believe it, how can the devil defeat me? How can the devil keep me sick? How can he keep me in condemnation? He can't.
Right.
It's like trying to keep a wild beast inside of a styrofoam cage. But if you can get the thing to convince that that's titanium steel and he can't do anything about it, that's all the devil has, church. He has no power.
Right.
Even the fear of death that he had in the Old Testament was stripped of him.
Amen.
At Calvary. Because now a man could say, I wonder what, before they would go, I wonder what happens after death. They didn't know what happened after death. Now they can say, I know a man. I know what happens after death.
Yes.
He came back.
Amen.
And he said, I've prepared a place for you.
Amen.
That when the resurrection comes, we can go there.
Yes, Lord.
And he compared it to the Garden of Eden, didn't he?
Yeah.
Whew. The garden that's in the midst of the paradise of God. We are here in this building to commune with Him. And we must respect that if you expect results.
Amen.
We shouldn't be out jibber-jabbing about anything else. And I don't mean to. And it's hard a lot of times because I know that people are taught different things. And that's fine for where people want to go. I'm not. I only can do this. This is all I'm here for. This is where God put me. And I don't try to be rude. But when before service, I'm trying to get ready just as well as anybody else. I do wish I had a deacon. I'd put him out there instead, and I would stay in the office and pray. But that's not the way it is right now. You got Pastor Deacon Andrew Crustle right now. And half trustee, right? Half treasurer and everything else. Backup song leaders. Amen. But that's what we're here for. And that's when I told the story about Jesus whipping them out of the temple. Brother Bram said that was him being a deacon in the house of God. Yeah. So it's not, nowhere do you think he missed the will of God there when Jesus did that? Do you think that was out of order when Jesus did that? That's foolishness. He did exactly what the will of the Father was every time. Amen. And you watch a deacon in a church try to get on somebody and say, hey, you need to quit talking, you need to quit doing this. And people want to get all worked up and say, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing that to happen? Why did you get on my case? You just rest assured that person doesn't have fellowship with God yet. Right. Your attitude toward the Word proves whether you got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Sure, amen.
And that goes in all its forms. And guess what? The house of God was set established in the Word of God. Yeah. Nobody asked for deacons. I didn't ask for them. They're in the Word of God. Even the pastor, he says, take heed over the flock of God, which God has made you overseer of. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
So why do we pray before service? We're not here to occupy seats. We're not here to waste time. We are here to be in the presence of God. Yes, we're here to get to the point where you really know it's just you and Him.
Amen.
And that is hard. I understand. That's hard when we're parents and we got children. And you do have a responsibility over them. But I tell you what, if you're yielded to the presence of God, you don't think God's going to take care of that?
Amen.
I watched a woman dance in the Spirit with a baby in her hands.
Sure.
I'm tired of the excuses. Let's just put it that way. There's no excuse. God is God.
Amen.
He's the Almighty. Quit putting all these other things over Him. It's so offensive to me, I guess, when you make these little pitiful things so great and marvelous that God can't do anything about it. What kind of God do you serve anyhow? Are you convinced that this is it? Are you convinced that Jesus Christ really is the one true living God? Let Him take care of it.
Amen.
He will every time. As long as you take your hands off, He can put His hands on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what's the power of that little prayer? You think, oh, it's just meaningless, it's insignificant. No, it's not. God will honor you every time.
Amen.
What Brother Bram says about this is he's getting ready to have a service the next day. He says this, faith without works is dead. Don't forget now, tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night, let's come praying. How many would be willing tomorrow to say, I'm going to spend at least a half hour of prayer between now and tomorrow afternoon for that service, for a complete victory?
Amen.
He didn't say 4 or 5 hours even. He said just at least a half hour for that service, that we'll have a complete victory. Would you do that with me? A half hour of prayer, a complete victory for tomorrow afternoon, that a complete every sinner saved.
Amen.
Oh no, we're in Laodicea. We can't expect great things.
Amen.
If they can't be saved, they at least need to know that they could have been.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? When sinners can come comfortably and go, oh, you know, I don't really know nothing about it. That was kind of whatever. That's not what happens in the real presence of God. They know something is here.
Amen.
They might not understand it. They might not be able to accept it. That's fine. But the part of the gospel is preaching to the lost as well. But we better have the presence here to where they know those group of people have something that I've never seen before.
Amen.
If we all speak with tongues, they'll say we're all crazy. Isn't that what the Bible said? Right. But let one prophesy and say what's in the secrets of their hearts.
Right.
What are they going to be able to do?
Right. Amen.
You don't know them. I don't know them. But He does.
He sure does.
And if you even looked at Brother Bram's gifts, we always, and I know all of us will do this, we'll think, man, I wish Brother Bram was just here. Just one time. So he could just discern me, tell me what it's all about. And then I could go on
sure.
free.
Uh-huh.
Where did Brother Bram get that knowledge?
Right.
From God.
Yes.
Anybody think God doesn't know where you live? Everybody think God doesn't know your name?
Amen.
Why does He have to tell somebody else to tell us that? Why do we want a middleman? What is it? Because we're trying to go back because it's easier.
Right.
Because then if it fails, guess what? It's not your fault no more. It's that guy's fault.
Amen.
That's really why people do that. If you'll just, we'll just fess up. That's why people like to ask, sometimes ask for advice that way. Well, what do you think about this? You know, what do you think? What do you think? And then when it doesn't work, they go, ha, He told me that. Actually, one of my biggest pet peeves of that topic is when some of my kids want to talk about sports. And they go, oh man, he's just a terrible quarterback. He did this, this, and that. So I'm like, you put the pads on, get out there.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what you look like. Who made you an all-star? You can't even, you got so many Cheetos in your back pocket right now, I don't think you need me to get out there. You'd be too weighed down. And that's a lot of Christianity a lot of times, isn't it?
Sure.
Lazy. Oh, you know, don't have a prayer life, don't really travail for souls or anything, but they'll let you know that pastor there, man, he's just off the word.
Uh-huh.
That's when I usually back up and go, I think there's probably something wrong with what he's even saying. Because good water and bad water can't come out of the same place.
Right.
So even if they're trying to preach what's true, there's going to be something wrong with it somewhere because the life should match it up.
Right, amen.
So I even had a young man trying to, I guess, well, he's my age, I'm sorry. I'm a young man, right? So he was telling me that this minister wasn't qualified for this reason and that reason. And I kind of, at the time, I was like, well, okay, you know, maybe I can see what you're saying. And then I'm going to look back and go, well, at least he's trying to do something for the gospel. What are you doing? He's the same one that told me God has a flower garden. You know, we're all different, which is true. But he said, I'm the kind of Christian that comes in right before church is over, starts, and right when it's done, I leave. That's just the kind of flower I am. I'm the Christian that doesn't need a prayer life.
Uh-huh.
God don't make none of those. You see how you can take something that's supposed to be true, and you watch somebody put their own hands to it, and before you know it, you get something like that. Well, I'm the Christian that murders. You know, I just can't help it. It's just the way I do things.
Right.
It's foolishness, isn't it?
Amen.
If people just be honest with themselves and take the Word of God in its entirety, not just their own little things to justify themselves. A real true born-again Christian has no problem with saying I'm wrong, with no problem saying I'm sorry when they're converted with the Word of God.
Amen.
And even if these things I'm talking about, even if your approach to the house of God hasn't been this way, if you don't make it early and pray and things like that, and you've done and you've missed out and all those things, I'm not here to tell you like, oh, you're done, you're going to hell. It's correction by the Word.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with trying to make a cookie-cutter religion.
Right.
It's, do you want the benefits or not?
Right, amen.
Do you want everything salvation has for us, which is healing, which is joy, which is love, which is peace, which is His presence?
Amen.
Then follow these things. It's very simple. The Word said it, I'll do it.
Amen.
It's the only thing I took ever from Nike, the slogan, just do it.
Amen.
Just try it a few times. Let's see what happens.
Sure.
Anybody had the Word fail on you yet?
Oh.
I failed the Word many times.
That's right.
Amen.
This place. Why do we have church? It's for the presence of God to be here. Our approach, our prayer, coming here early and getting everything else of the world out is all to focus on Him.
Amen.
So even as we prayed this morning, that there be no other things on the walls of our minds, just Him.
Amen.
And as you watch other things, even during a service, come in and you want to look this way or you want to think about what you're going to do tomorrow, rest assured, that's Satan getting you off the Word. Because
yes.
Those things will take care of themselves. So Trey, trust me, you don't need to think about them for the hour to 2 hours we're in this building. It will be okay.
Sure.
And what did the Bible say? If you'll put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all those things will take care of themselves.
Yes, Lord.
We went through the power of prayer. If you get a group of people to pray just a half hour for a service, they could have a complete victory.
Amen.
Where every person that walks in lost can be saved. I mean, what's a service like that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, guess what? You can't put it all on the pastor, and I can't put it on the lady either. If I don't do my job, I ain't expecting any results either. It must be a body.
Amen.
Not a denomination now, a body that works together because they're all part of the same family.
Amen.
And if all the church of all the world, all the bride of Christ would do that, then we could have somebody come in here that's not from this church fall right in line because we're part of the same body.
Amen.
Let me dispel one more thing here. A lot of times people perceive that we're coming to the building to get into God. And there's truth to that. But look, we're coming to the building. We should already be packing God.
Amen. Yes.
And then when I pack my part of God, and you're packing yours,
yes,
and then we get it all together, it just makes even more.
Amen.
Sure.
That's why there's no reason to stay home. I've yet to hear a good reason. I'm sorry. I mean, I try to be merciful and gracious about it, but every single time I go, man, you probably still could have made it though, and you probably would have been better off.
Amen.
I mean, it's just, it's not, again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody or anything else. I just know I've heard so many stories the other way, right? Where, I thought about not going, and I just, and then eventually I just went there. I've never heard anybody say, well, God told me to stay home. Has anybody ever heard that happen? When somebody overcame and got to church, that they said, oh, I missed the will of God. I was supposed to sit at home. There you go. So now you know that's never going to work, is it? So why don't we just do the other option that we know works?
Amen.
Get to church. Yeah. Hallelujah. See how simple that was when you actually just think about it? Because we'll say the other one all the time, right? Oh, man, I was so hard to get there, but I got there and bless God, I'm okay. And they'll try to say, well, I just couldn't make it, you know, but the Lord, He knows. Yeah, He does know. He knows He already paid that you could be well. He already knows that He gave you the finances to get here anyways. Right. And when we fall short, that doesn't mean He's going to throw us out of the curb now. But there's grace to bring us back.
Amen.
We should be packing our part of God when we get here. Should be expecting God to show up. We should be knowing He's already with me.
Amen.
And if your mind is in tune with that, if you're coming to service, you can't. I don't know where the presence of God is. I feel like I got to get pumped up into it. You're going to miss something.
That's right.
Because you're going back to works. You're going back to things you're doing instead of Christ already did this.
Amen.
He said if two or three would gather in my name, I would be there.
Amen.
Guess what? We're having special service today. Did you know that? Because anytime we're having service, it's special. Because the man of the hour has shown up. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Word. And when the Word comes into us and it comes out, and we watch Him heal the sick, we watch Him raise the dead, we watch Him save souls and fill with the Holy Ghost, that proves that He is the same God He always was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's turn real quick here. 1 Corinthians 9, I'm going to finish up on this. Kind of a foundational service we'll be getting into here. First Corinthians 9. Let's just start at verse 4 here. 1 Corinthians 9:4. Excuse me. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the preacher to profit withal. 1 Corinthians 9. Or, oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. 1 Corinthians 12 is what I meant. I apologize. I knew I did something wrong there for a minute. I'm thinking 9 spiritual gifts is what I'm thinking of. God have mercy. You got grace for me still?
Yeah.
Well, that brother was really anointed. He'd know what chapter that was. Well, I didn't know what chapter it was. I said the wrong thing. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm sorry. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Amen.
So guess what? You are here to manifest the Spirit.
Amen.
And when the Bible says man, just in case a woman doesn't think it's you too, when the Bible uses a male, it means it's including female as well. Because anytime there's one man, you use the male word in the Bible. So every man, every woman to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these things worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews, Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given there. There are 9 gifts for the Spirit to manifest itself in. He doesn't give other things for the Spirit to manifest itself in when we come together. That is the operations of the body of Christ. We should be able to do some of this. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
We like to say, oh, it's just, they're the ones that do the tongues and they do this and they preach, but I'm just the one that just sits here. No, you are given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit.
Amen.
Yes, the gift of healing can be one of those. You can have faith for somebody's healing. Go pray for them. Guess what? You have done your part in the body.
Amen.
And we come to service. And you watch a lot of times. We understand these gifts should hold off during the preaching of the word because the word takes preeminence over everything.
Right.
The word will always be right. Gifts can fail. Tongues can fail. All these things that we know. But the word will never fail.
Right.
The word has the preeminence. So during the time of the preaching of the word, yes, we should hold off on all those things until it's over. And we can do it before or after though. And that's why you watch a lot of times when I finish the service, I don't just dismiss and walk out. That's not because I'm here to waste time. It's that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to us to profit. And I can't think of that. There's probably been way too many services that were cut off right before the manifestation is coming because we've been taught differently than what the Bible says. When we come together, we should expect these things to happen. We should not be scared when, and I'm not just trying to emphasize on tongues interpretation, but that happens. That's more of the things that people see right away. It's just all, prophecy is the same way. But you take the word of knowledge. When God gives you something that you need to tell somebody about, that's the Spirit moving amongst the people. You watch Azusa Street at all. And the things that happened back there, and they had so much success. You know the people that were doing that were 13, 14 years old, and they did it right in the house of God. They just walk right over there and just pray for something, and they supernaturally get healed right there. And we're supposed to be further along the road.
Come on. Amen.
We are. But these things, I don't mean to say it sacrilegiously, but they should be common in a good regard because they're happening so often we're used to it. I don't think divine healing should be something like, somebody actually got healed this time?
Right.
Every time we ask, God answers.
Faithful. Amen.
Every time we need to hear from the Spirit, we hear from the Spirit of God. Every time we need a miracle, God sends one through His body. Let's stand together this morning. Bow our heads together. Okay, that spoke to you this morning. And let's just do that as every eye is closed, every head is bowed. If you can rest assured, you know my approach to the house of God has had error in it. And you want to confess that to Him now, you can go ahead and do that. I believe with the raised hand, God will take away all of that. Even if you just want to rededicate yourself or dedicate the first time and say, Lord, I'm ready to give my whole heart to the worship of Your name. That's why I come here. Let's just dedicate ourselves again to Him. Remember, it's not about us as a group. It's you as an individual right now with Him. Dedicating yourself to Jesus Christ Himself. So we can have the right fellowship we ought to have with Him. I'll lead in prayer, but you pray with all your heart now to Him, and I believe He'll respond. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for just giving us this rededicational word that You've given to us, Lord, to show us the things we might have done wrong and why we don't always get the benefits that we should be having. But we're grateful, Lord, to know that the Word will come and correct the error. And it's not to destroy us, Lord, but it's for our profit, for our benefit. And we're so grateful to have such a wonderful husband, have such a wonderful father, Lord. You're so good to us. The things that we do, the foolishness that we have, Lord, You've never paid it back the way we deserve. And we thank You, Lord, that You've been merciful with us. We pray, Lord, that You forgive us of all of our foolishness, Lord. Help us to have a real expectation when we walk into the house of God that You promise to be here and not just be here, but You promise to manifest that You have the same power that You always have. Lord, I pray that You'd anoint each one afresh, Lord. If there be one sinner here this morning, may the presence of God be able to get into their soul and may they experience a new birth that their life would never be the same. If there's anyone here that needs just a touch of healing in their body. I pray you'd honor their faith for coming to church this morning, and you just bless them, Lord, with healing. Lord, you said you sent your word and you healed the people, and we pray that that would be fulfilled in this service today. Lord, I just give my heart to you anew. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, and I know I'm in a group of people that do. Help us, Lord, to just take our own minds and just forget about it, Lord, and to take upon the mind of Christ and let you speak your word through our lips. We yield ourselves to you afresh. We love you and appreciate you. We ask it all to be so in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Father, I appreciate you.
That's 260 if you don't know it. Psalm 260.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Just sing that again. Sing that verse again.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
I believe he likes that this morning.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you.
Comfort to me, yes, Lord.
And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lay. You guide me, your dwelling inside.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
You're a comfort.
Oh, just worship him with all your heart. Yield yourself to God now. He's here present.
And Heavenly Father, I am.
Oh, yes, I do, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Hallelujah.
And Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you.
Oh, do you love him this morning? Oh, I love you, Jesus.
I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I
thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And touching Jesus is all that really matters, then your life will never be.
Oh, do you know that
that's true this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just touching you, Lord.
Only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on.
Just believe it now. Just touch the hem of His garment and be well. Thank you, Lord.
And touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. And there's only He was. Just believe when you call on His name.
Just one last time, let's sing that again.
Oh, just touching Jesus.